friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
So we've got a question from one of our viewers.
We do. So what would you do, guys?
Let's break it down.
This is from For Love or Money.
And this is us speaking to you as your girlfriends.
Yes. We are not professionals. Yes. Or do we play one on TV?
No, we don't.
But podcast, yes.
All right. Let's see what the question is.
Dear My Perfect Romance. I'm writing because I feel completely stuck and unsure of what to do next. My situation is complicated by the fact that my financial and personal lives are deeply intertwined with my husband's. We share everything. Well, that's kind of good.
I feel like that's every probably long-term relationship. They're probably well-established,
I would think that. It doesn't, yeah, it sounds like that.
Yeah.
Our income, our responsibilities. And untangling any part of it feels overwhelming, if not impossible. The real issue, though, it isn't just the logistics. It's how I'm treated when things go wrong.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to recap. So they are financially tied.
Yeah.
This is no different than if you were like two business partners.
Yeah.
I know my brother went through this recently with his business that he built with someone that was not even related.
Right? Yeah.
And actually kind of sort of related, but not married. So divorce wasn't on the table, but trying to figure out like how to separate when things aren't working right, even just in that situation, like it was a nightmare.
No,
but when your business and your relationship are one and the same.
Yep.
What it sounds like is going on.
That sounds exactly like what's going on. So, whenever there's a problem, whether it's a bill that was overlooked, a financial setback, or even something small, my husband immediately blames me. Instead of approaching challenges as a team, he points fingers and calls me stupid.
He actually calls her stupid?
She put stupid in quotes.
So he probably is feeling himself inadequate.
But you don't do
I
that.
I have heard that. Like when you project like something on someone else, that's it's more about how you do yourself.
Yes, things aren't working. And so he wants to blame her.
Yeah. But, you know.
No, when you say something like that to another person, it says a lot more about the person.
But it doesn't make it okay.
No.
No, I'm just saying. Just looking at
I'm just saying, girl, you're not stupid. He's an asshole.
Maybe this will help us help her.
That's a good point.
Understand maybe
I love that,
where
Courtney.
He's coming from.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so he's feeling probably pretty down and out.
Yeah, and you know, in some senses, especially I think with finances and things, men can be like, oh, it's my job to be the provider. And so if something goes wrong in that venue, you know, they don't want to be to blame because that's their identity potentially.
Not that I know a ton of business. I mean, the business owners that are couples that I do know. It's always the woman doing the books.
I know. Why
is
that?
The finances.
Yeah. That aspect. It's just crazy to me. Do you do the books to Brad?
I have chosen to absolutely let him do whatever he wants in his business, and I do mine. I don't merge the two. Yes, I keep the relationship, and then whatever our work, that's separate.
I mean, I like to work it, but not there. Okay, so at first I tried to brush it off or tell myself he was just stressed, but over time it has worn me down. What used to feel like occasional frustration has turned into a pattern I can't ignore. And this is not good.
It's turned into a pattern. So it didn't used to be that way.
Yeah, but now it's becoming his outlet. I've tried to talk to him about how hurtful his words are. Sometimes he dismisses it, saying, I'm too sensitive. That's a flag. Mm-hmm. Other times he apologizes, but the behavior always comes back the next time something goes wrong. I feel like I'm constantly walking on eggshells, afraid of making a mistake, not because of the mistake itself, but because of how he'll react. What makes it even...
mistakes happen.
Mistakes are going to... Who doesn't like a cred, you know?
She's going to make them. He's going to make them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think it says a lot about a person when you make a mistake. How do they treat you for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What makes this even harder... I mean, and also, sometimes there's no mistake that was made. It's just a bad circumstance. Like, sometimes you're like, you know what? We had to replace the transmission and repair the roof the same month. There just wasn't the money in this account, and we had to pull money from that other account to cover this from the backup of the backup funds.
Sometimes it pours.
It does.
When it rains, it pours.
It does. So sometimes there are no mistakes. Mm-hmm. What makes this even harder is that leaving or even separating feels incredibly complicated. Mm-hmm. Our finances are tied together in ways that make independence seem out of reach, at least in the short term. I worry about how I would manage on my own, but I also worry about what staying in this environment is doing to my self-worth. I don't believe I deserve to be spoken to this way. And girl, you don't. You do not deserve to be spoken to this way.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. But I also don't know how to create change when I feel so dependent on the situation.
So I wonder this. What if she could outsource her role and look for a different position?
That's
it sounds like
idea.
She has a lot of skills.
That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
I mean, the reason I grew up watching my parents try to have a relationship and run a business together.
Yeah.
And I learned from them. Like, that's just not something that I will ever do because that's a lot of strain on a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you can only take on so many roles.
Well, and I think
in a relationship. And when you're taking on too many, something's got to give.
And I know that when I have attempted that in the past with past partners, that it's hard for there not to be, even if you both are doing the same amount of work, it's really hard for some personalities to not want to dominate and you know, kind of take on that, like, I'm your boss, I'm in charge of you role, which then gives them sort of that I'm your disciplinary, I'm your parental kind of figure.
Right.
I get to judge you.
Yeah. I get to judge you across the board in all aspects of your life.
Like, yeah. And
it's so nice to be able to, like, go to work and then come home and, like, take off your work hat and, like,
and now have your relationship hat.
And when you never get to do that, I think it would wear on
anyone.
Well, yeah. I wonder if, I mean, does she, I mean, how badly does she want to stay in the business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that how much of her is tied up, you know, just in her self-worth?
Sometimes, oh, absolutely.
Like, when you pour yourself into a business,
that is part of you.
So, you know.
Well, and why should she have to leave the business to not get treated like shit?
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like I said before, is this what's happening with our husband? Why is he, why is he stressed?
Yeah.
What's the stressor for him?
Yeah.
Also, how could they, I mean, I know she's tried talking to him, but also I'm going to say, like, what about a life? We talked to the life coach.
Yeah. Loved her.
I loved her too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was amazing. I mean, I want to say, like, maybe.
Yeah.
There's reaching out to somebody who could help you.
Mediate,
you know, because first of all, is the relationship worth saving?
Yes, absolutely.
If it is not, then you have to look at,
how do you get out of this?
How do you sever the business?
Right.
And how do you set yourself up for protection?
Yeah.
If you're moving, if you're, let's finish this real fast. So I'm asking.
Yeah. We've already made up our mind.
So I'm asking, how do you handle a relationship where respect has eroded, but practical realities make it difficult to walk away? Is there a way to rebuild healthier communication, or do I need to start seriously planning an exit, even if it feels daunting? And she signs it, feeling trapped and tired.
I really think what it hinges on is her relationship partner willing and capable of some self-reflection.
Yeah.
Altering his behaviors. And if he's not,
well, it doesn't.
Then I would say you gotta walk away.
I'm gonna be a little harsh. it doesn't sound to me like he can without professional help.
Right. Yeah.
Because
but is he willing already to seek professional help?
And not only that, seek professional help.
Unbiased professional help. Like is you've got a friend.
Yep.
That's a
is he willing to seek unbiased professional help? And if he can't even acknowledge that this is super unacceptable, like he needs to not like the words like I mean, I think at this point it's very fine for her to have hardcore lines crossed, you know, like
I'd almost suggest
a separation until
he needs to see a therapist.
Absolutely.
Separately.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so he can understand how to treat her and maybe what's going on with himself and why he's treating her that way. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Lisa and Valerie, he does need to be willing to make that change. And so let's say he doesn't. You suggest this. He thinks there's nothing wrong. Obviously, he's saying he's kind of lighthousing.
Yes, like he's like, I am the beacon. He's
lighthousing.
Gaslighting. That's funny. He's gaslighting her a little bit and making it seem like, oh, you're being crazy. I'm not doing
it's
this.
It's totally gaslighting. And I don't know, you guys, my biggest fear in this, and this is where maybe I'm like, this is me, you do you. No, my fear in this is, speaking from some, you know, past experiences, men who you've said, hey, this isn't okay, they really don't change their behaviors and care and until you really are okay with leaving. Yeah. And the second they know that they're going to lose access to what they've been getting.
For free,
basically. For like, I have no accountability for my actions. I have no nothing.
Right.
What they will do is they will basically love bomb you again. And they will be like, I will change. I am a new man. You know, I have this exact experience.
It's a cycle.
And so, and then here's the thing. What happens?
That's what's so hard about setting boundaries with people that you've been in a long-term relationship with. Because they know what buttons they can push. And
exactly. And so then what usually happens in those situations is after you get through that phase of accountability, then they no longer, oh, we're no longer going to counseling or oh, this or oh, that. They no longer have to be accountable for their behavior. Then they start going, I think you were overreacting. I think you were. You know what? Here I did all of this for you. And then you actually, in addition, you also start getting punished.
But I want to say this, too.
So I don't know.
Every single relationship, and I don't care how short, if it doesn't last very long, you might not go through this, but every single relationship is going to go through its peaks and valleys.
Absolutely.
The important part is like, how do you
handle conflict and repair
when you have wronged someone?
Absolutely.
And how do you restore that balance
and
in the relationship?
Trust, because you can't
build
trust.
And if you are dismissive repeatedly, definitely. I just made
there's another.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. We have lighthouses and repeatedly believe in lighthouses.
Yeah, I like that.
I just feel like that's your answer. Like,
yeah, that's kind of what
the cycle will continue to repeat.
Exactly.
But when someone can be sure, we're going to make a mistake. But when I come to you and say, hey, this didn't feel right, and they care and they can self reflect and they can, you know, make efforts. That's great.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You're not getting,
and that's what scares
okay.
me.
So and that's what so she's not getting.
Exactly.
First
and that's
of all,
me.
Like, I think
yes.
we feel like, okay, talk to your husband.
She's already done that.
Well, ask him to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, just see how that goes. Plan two is that he is not receptive to that. So what does she do next? She's got to have like an exit plan of some sort.
Yeah. And I think, and honestly, I almost think that the exit plan needs to be simultaneously implemented with the therapy. And I know that may sound really harsh, but
I like
part
that. Yeah.
of mm-hmm. him Part of the accountability for him is him and understanding the long-term boundary, right, is him understanding that he is agreeing to her safety. He is agreeing to rebuild trust with her. Right. And so that means emotionally, that also means she needs to not feel economically trapped to be safe in this relationship. And he has to rebuild trust. And I really think that she's going to get her answers. I mean, here's where my real question would be more along the lines of, start talking to him about therapy. She needs to be planning her exit strategy. I'm sorry. That's on the board.
Therapy, if he's like, I have no problem, you are the problem, then obviously like,
or
okay,
even if the therapy doesn't, even if the therapy, and I don't mean to be so down because I'm like, my experiences are my experiences, your experiences are your experiences. Even if you get through therapy,
they can placate a therapist. Like, yes, I get
so
that. But
the behaviors, the structure of how things are established needs to change. And he should also, because he has broken trust and because he also understands that she's trapped with him being abusive, part of the repair and part of the trust building for him is that she also gets a pocket of money that he doesn't have access to that they pay into.
I kind of think that maybe they need to consider a different business plan.
And I agree too. I agree with that. And I'm kind of almost thinking, you know, maybe you figure out how to separate out. You figure out how to separate it. Maybe she takes over the business and he gets a different job.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
I hate to say it. Maybe whatever their roles are.
Maybe it's just been too much for him. That's why he can't. That's maybe why he's feeling uncomfortable. Maybe the business is not for him anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Happens too.
He might appreciate getting out.
Yeah. And you know? I do get it though, because like it's expensive. Yeah. Like you invest so much into the business. I mean, and it becomes your life. It's your lifestyle. You think
it can become your whole identity.
It is. Yeah. Like like the friends you
it's have. It's so scary.
Yeah.
Changes, but.
Yeah, but you have to be prepared to make some of those big changes.
I know, and it is hard when your identity is wrapped up into something like that. But I sort of believing lately that everything happens for a reason.
Aww.
And maybe this is an opportunity for her either to take over the business or to do something completely different.
Examine.
Maybe this is a really great opportunity for her to change what she's doing.
And also,
who knows what new opportunities.
If she does the books for the business, you know, maybe his you're an asshole clause means that, you know, he's got, sorry, this is your you're an asshole penalty. I mean, like, something. Anyway, that he has to work a few more hours a week to put things together in a way so they can actually give it to somebody else to do the books of it. But in order to have it be fiscally offset by what job she can go get outside, he has to make that up with labor that he puts into it. Or maybe he has to pick up a few extra clients, or maybe he has to do a couple more projects. You know, I'm sorry, but there's consequences for actions. And if there's no accountability to actions, then it's not fucking going to work.
And maybe, and who knows, maybe he's at his limits with what he's been doing.
Absolutely.
And that could be his asshole behavior coming out.
And if he's,
I don't know, their situation is so unique. We don't know those ins and outs.
We don't. And maybe
I want to say that if anybody, like, if you're in that kind of a situation, like, and you just let that continue and they don't think there's ever any kind of repercussions for being disrespectful, like, you're going to continue to repeat this cycle. Important that they know divorce is always on the table.
Well, and
they need to be aware of how they treat you.
Thing that's funny about boundaries, though, is a boundary is not about someone else. It's not, he is not going to call me stupid. A boundary is, if someone calls me stupid, I'm leaving that environment.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's up to that person.
And it's you.
To have to hold them.
Yeah, you have boundaries. To hold them. And it really, I'm so sorry.
And that's hard.
It really sucks.
It is hard.
Respect your boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's but telling.
You make total sense. Like, no fault on, like, I've been there. I mean, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
But once again, you don't want it to get to the point where he stops calling you stupid, not because it's not there, but because you believe you're stupid and you're calling yourself stupid enough to where he stops calling you stupid. Because I know what that feels like, and it's shit.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is just believing in yourself, you know, especially when somebody's been telling you you're stupid for a long time. It's so easy for your brain to go there.
To believe
and,
it.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing too, is if you start going to therapy along that time period, they're not calling you stupid anymore because they've improved. They're not calling you stupid anymore because you believe it. They don't have to call you stupid once you have already started telling yourself that all the time.
Gosh, there's a psychology term for that. Just the repetitive, like, words become part of your identity.
And part of
whether
the abuse
it's true
cycle,
or not.
Part of the abuse
and that is
cycle
part of that
is,
abuse
and it
cycle.
Is, and part of it, and it's very real. If it messes with you because you think they're getting better, they don't call me stupid anymore. Well, they're getting better. I feel like crap all the time. They're not calling you stupid anymore because it's not there. They don't need to call you stupid anymore.
Yeah, because they know you believe it.
Because they've called you stupid hundreds of times, thousands of times, millions of times.
I don't love it either. It's so hard.
But that doesn't, like I said.
But you're also... You
if
know,
someone
also,
calls you something derogatory, that doesn't mean anything about you.
It doesn't.
It means everything about them
and
who they are. Because people do not treat people that way.
They do not.
And maybe outside of your husband, surrounding yourself with friends and other family who do positive talk is helpful also to create a transition in your mind thinking.
But even no matter how wonderful your friends are and how totally amazing they are, it still destroys you.
Yes, it is. That's a big barrier to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
We get that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So what are the steps are?
Yeah. Steps are.
Therapy. I suggest therapy.
Prep for the leave.
Maybe she should absolutely get therapy to help her.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And husband, therapy. Mm-hmm. If he says yes and is willing to look at himself and understand what's motivating him to call you stupid, then yay. Good job.
Yeah.
Then couple therapy. Then move forward.
And
consider a different business strategy moving forward.
And you also need... Like, because this has happened, you need a security plan that is backed by finances and actions to make sure you get to stay safe. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, like, at least in physically abusive relationships, 98% plus of physically abusive relationships have financial control as well. So when you're ever you're talking about an abusive relationship, financial abuse is most likely involved in this. And so you need set undeniable actions that are documented. Like when you're, if he's going to do his improvement phase, get him to document everything in his love bombing. If he's love bombing, just get it in writing as part of the love bombing package. In case it is a love bombing package and not genuine change.
Yeah. I also think stay open to possibilities beyond the business that you share with your husband.
Absolutely.
You know, there. Yeah. Be creative. Be open. Start thinking of brainstorming with friends. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's another path for you.
Yeah.
If this business isn't going to work.
And and I'm just like, sorry, I'm just like the ray of sunshine today. But know that if he's abusive, it's going to be ugly no matter when you leave.
Yeah.
It's going to be terrible.
It never is. It's never.
Yeah.
I mean.
So you might as well have your world totally blow up sooner so you can actually rebuild.
Sooner. Yeah. So you can bring joy and happiness into your life.
And peace.
I would also suggest, having an exit plan ready.
Yeah.
So that these things are easier a little bit.
Yeah.
Your planning.
Like if you have your medical and dental right now, go make sure you get your teeth done.
She's just got the
say it. There are some things you could do.
She's yeah. got it down.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. Our heart goes out to you. And good again, luck. I mean, we are your friends speaking to you about what we would do.
We're not therapists.
Situation. But I will say, when you are in a situation like that, you need some
don't
outside
isolate
perspective
yes,
because
isolate.
It's hard to see what's going on.
Because you also are probably feeling super embarrassed about the fact that you're getting called stupid and all this is happening and you're not able to keep it together. And you also don't want to be a burden because you're probably – he's been telling you you're stupid and a burden. And you make mistakes all the time, so you probably don't want to reach out to your friends. Don't isolate.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want to do.
Somebody said to me once – how would you feel if your friend isolated herself from you? You would feel bad. You want to help your friends. Yeah. Your friends want to help you.
They do. Yeah.
So reach out to them.
That's what friends are for.
Yes.
And we are here to just offer you lots of love and support.
And there are places that can help. I mean, so if this is, don't minimize your experiences because it's real.
Yes.
All right.
That's
heavy.
Sorry.
But thanks for reaching out to us.
We appreciate it.
We hope we gave you some ideas, things to chew on.
Yeah. Good luck. So,
yes.
XOXO?
I always like to just say in the show notes, you can find a link to the podcast and our website. And you can reach out to us through that too.
So
I try to make it easy.
She's an easy girl.
She makes it easy for all of you.
Thank you.
And us as well.
All right.